entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
It's time for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Studios, across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. Providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps and the pros across Tampa Bay and the USA. Get your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and your hosts Mike Rickard and Ben Botham.
All right, you're on the air. Go ahead. This is the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection with your host from Ferg's, Mike Rickard.
Good morning and welcome to Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. We'll try this again. Of course, we're brought to you by our good friends at Ice Pick Vodka, Body Armor, and our studios at Tropicana Field, downtown St. Petersburg, right across from where the Rays and the Jays will play Game 3 today. After was it 8-2 win last night? 8-2 win after getting shellacked on opening day. And, of course, so we'll see how the show goes. We're going to be stumbling, fumbling, and bumbling for the next couple of hours. And what we may end up doing, since we have so many guests, is we may end up having to rerun last week's second hour. We'll see how this goes. But hang with us, folks. We're going to talk to Tampa Bay Rowdies are at home tonight at Al Lang Stadium. We're going to talk to Bob Putnam of Primetime Preps. Join us in our Body Armor High School headquarters. Alex Reba and Oscar Garner III. We'll talk March Madness, the Elite Eight that took place, the finale last night of the Elite Eight. You've got some great matchups. You've got Duke, NC State, Purdue taking on Tennessee, Clemson and Alabama. That's a great story, the Clemson Tigers. And then UConn, the preeminent favorites. They take on the Illinois Fighting Illini. And if there's anybody that can compete with the UConn Huskies, it is the Fighting Illini. And that
those games take place tonight and tomorrow. And then, as I mentioned, I'm not on now.
Actually, Mike, yes, you are. Skype is back up and running again. Go ahead. You're on Skype, sir.
Oh, we're on Skype. Right. Beautiful.
Locked in, ready to roll now.
Rock and roll. So now what's that's when you have a false start in track, mm-hmm. you have to get back in the blocks.
Okay.
And that's what we're doing.
That sounds good to me, Mike.
We're getting back in the blocks. Anyway, I was talking a little bit. We're live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill down here at 13th and Central. And the beauty of it is all 104 televisions will be glued to March Madness. I love this time of year. You don't, but Elite Eight, you've got baseball starting.
It was opening day. The biggest day of the year should be a national holiday.
It must have been a big day because you weren't on the Seminole sidelines.
I was not.
You were in the Seminole dugout.
I took my father to the Rays game.
It was that's great tradition.
It was a lot of. That was my first time ever at an opening day, Mike. It was beautiful. It was great. All the bunting around the stadium, the new field, the pageantry of opening day was miraculous. Loved every minute of it. Except for the finale.
This is like a life experience to him. Joe Geiger is the same way. His family tailgates. Mm-hmm. And I would have to say that the greatest tailgate party was right here at Ferg's. You should have come over here.
I'm running from school trying to get over here. It's tough to try and make it that early. A 4 o'clock game for opening day. Push it back to 7 for us.
Well, I tell you what, it was a circus here, wasn't it, Joe? I mean, it was cool. You had music, you had wine, women, and song, music. You had a party, and then you had baseball across the street.
Well, they can't push us back to 7 because they can't even give us a night playoff game when we got one. So
that is true. I still remember.
You two
that.
Are such negative Nellies. Let's talk about 2024.
Hey, we're
1-1. We put an 8 spot on them last night, paying them back for the opener.
Flipped the script thanks to a Brandon Lau grand slam, his fourth of the career.
You were right there in right field.
Yep. Almost caught it. Not really.
Did you knock down a couple little kids to get it?
I was like 8 sections over, but I was in right field.
You got to start throwing the elbows. I mean, Tropicana Field's probably...
To little kids?
Well, it's the nicest environment.
It's a grand slam. You got to do what you got to do.
Tropicana Field's very quiet, very peaceful. You know, you can sit there. You can relax. It's easy. We got to get a little muscle on our fan base here. We either got to lower the price of beers. Is that what you're saying? We got to get a little more life in our fans.
I would agree with that. Okay, as I said in the intro, we would be talking, of course, our Tampa Bay Rowdy segment, brought to you by our Body Armor Coca-Cola partners, as they are at Al Lang Stadium tonight. I'll have Joe look up who their opponent is. And then we'll talk to Alex Reba and Oscar Garner III. In the second hour, they'll break down March Madness, the Elite Eight, and who they think will get to the Final Four. And then you can hear that also on Big Monday. And that's on Mondays at from 6 to 8 on RadioSaintPete.com and our Florida Sports Streams channel. And then we'll talk to Bob Putnam, our partnership, Primetime Preps. He just went over the 1 million mark and 1 month of views, which is amazing for Primetime Preps. And another announcement, we will be doing Media Day over at Raymond James Stadium. We'll be involved in that, and that'll be at the end of July. And we'll do the Hillsborough County and the Pinellas County, so that'll be cool for our combined efforts. And then, of course, the Bucks, and we'll talk more about that. Very excited about that. And then we'll do a volleyball Media Day down here for the girls, as we've been doing football in the past. So we'll talk to Bob Putnam in this first hour. We'll talk to our good friend. We'll talk to our good friend Wyatt and Ross. And he, hey, we're on the air here, pal. we got Brian here, and we got the mics open, and he's over here talking about cars and who's parking where and what did we do. Nothing like a great start to the show, guys. Right.
Yeah, we're rocking and rolling, Mike. It's another great day here. I mean, where would you rather be? It's opening weekend.
And it's gorgeous.
You got the old gray lady in all of her glory. You got this wonderful day. There's no better place in America. That's why this is America's stadium.
All right, so we've gathered ourselves. We got through the technical difficulties. Now let's get back to the routine of the show. And, of course, every week, the godfather of soccer in this area, godfathers, David Wilson and Jim Hart join us. And they're on hold. And then we've got a gentleman. And, of course, they call him his podcast The Whale. So I can't wait to talk to this cat. So let's move into our Body Armor Coca-Cola beverages Rowdy's report. And how are you, gentlemen?
Great.
We've had every this show will go a lot smoother because we've had every curb thrown at us for the opener. That's just the reality of doing live radio down here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill across from Tropicana Field. It's a lot of fun, but sometimes it's a challenge. So let's bring some calm to it and have some fun. So Rowdy's at home tonight.
Yep, we got it. We got it. Dave's with us, too. And so, listen, let's get to the Rowdies. I think, is it possible to have a must-win game in the third game of the year? Maybe
not.
Are
you one of those fans?
Oh, well, listen, I'm a Tampa Bay Rowdies fan, and the Tampa Bay Rowdies have not won a game yet this year. So they played for They have not lost the game, but they still haven't won. And unfortunately, in a 12-team division, they're sitting at number 11 right now. Now, if you are just in any other team, you're like, okay, you know, it's been rough. Well, things will get better. If you're the Rowdies, you've got to do something about this. And so there's some news to report. The Rowdies have done something about it. It's very interesting. So let me give you the quick rundown today. Dave, do you want to say anything before I get into the nuts and bolts of the game tonight?
How about hello? Yeah, happy Easter weekend.
I only wanted to let Mike know that his intro, though, is I look at it as Jim Hart is the godfather, and I'll just be the godson.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. Who the hell am I? Fredo?
David's Tom. Yeah. David's Tom.
You guys gonna dump me in the bay sometime when I get done doing these segments?
Be careful,
we'll see how
buddy.
You do.
Watch your back. So let's get into the game. So, first of all, the 2022 league MVP, Leo Fernandez, didn't play a minute. Well, he played at the very end last year. He came back from a tough Achilles heel rupture. But he is not back to full fitness. He's made two guest appearances or substitute appearances in the first two games. So the first thing people are looking at is, tonight will Leo return to the lineup? I spoke with Ryan Helfrich this morning and got some inside scoop. And the one piece, though, that he couldn't answer is he doesn't know if Leo's starting. We won't know until about an hour before the game. If Leo comes back, that's going to be good for the Rowdies. But here's the next piece. The Rowdies, in their first two games, like Dave said, they didn't lose one, but they didn't win one. They've lost the lead late twice. So what did they do? They went out and signed a defender. One of the leading defenders on the league champion last year, Phoenix, Eddie Menjava, and he is supposed to be in the starting lineup tonight. So if you're the Rowdies and you don't win the first two games, what do? You go to the league champion and sign one of their defenders. That's a power move. It's exciting. And couldn't come in a moment too soon because tonight they're playing Rhode Island, and Rhode Island signed last year's league leading scorer, Albert Dikwa from Pittsburgh, and he scored two last week for Rhode Island. So it will potentially size up as Albert Dikwa versus Eddie Menjava, the new signing of the Rowdies, straight off the Phoenix roster tonight. That could be very interesting. Could make for a great game. Robbie Nielsen, the new coach, a little bit under the gun tonight. We'll see what happens.
Well, I was going to agree with you from that perspective. And of course, you know, they're owned by the Rays, and they're known for making moves throughout the course. They're very fluid of making moves that will help them build a team. And so it sounds like they're doing that early. And as you did say, you know, with Coach Collins taking off, there might be a little skepticism of how this season gets started, and the fan base could be a few rumblings, but again, I'll say it's very early in the year, and everybody should have optimism and have a great Easter party down there, and they'll get their first win. How's that?
Sounds good. David, you want to chime in?
No, I look at it a different perspective. I think, Jim, that too, that they have not lost this year. All right, so they have no blemish on their record at all right now. We're only two games in right now. They're not in a situation where they're like, oh my gosh, we have to win because we've lost the first two. A win is just going to put them, you know, jump them up the seedings right now, or the place where they are right now, but it's not do or die for me at all.
All right, gentlemen. Okay. Well, let's shift gears and let's head over to a different time zone and my neck of the woods, St. Louis. I'm a Cubs fan, but I love the Cardinals, and being from Des Moines, I spent a lot of time in St. Louis, and now he's the whale of St. Louis, Kevin Whalen. I love that moniker, my friend, and I welcome you to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and our Tampa Bay Rowdies Coca-Cola Body Armor segment. But what I typically do, since I know very little about the world of soccer, my mentors are on the other two lines. I'm going to turn it over to Jim Hart. But I want to thank you for bringing your wisdom and your incredible background to a Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection.
Well, thank you, Mike. Thank you. And Mike.
So Kevin.
Mike.
Yeah,
is Mike
there? Yeah. Yeah,
Mike.
I'm here. I better be.
You're well certified, pal. You're well certified. I came all the way from the St. Louis to voice that to you, baby. Way to go, Mike.
But Jim said you would be a lot of fun. You can come sit next to me anytime down here across from Tropicana Field and have some fun.
Oh, baby. Yeah.
Well, I'm telling Mike, I got to just call it. Congratulations. You are the first person outside the city of St. Louis to be whale certified. I know that means a lot to you, Mike.
Well, since I'm so close to the water down there where I live, yeah, I'm well certified. That's cool.
Well, listen, Kevin Whalen is a character, and he played soccer for Terry Mickler, one of our previous guests on this segment, way back in the 70s. He's a goalkeeper, and he started a podcast about a year ago, and now he is a sensation in St. Louis. He's with us now, and he's making the High School Champions League one of his main focuses. So, Kevin, tell the Tampa Bay area a little about yourself and why the High School Champions League is of such interest to you.
Well, it came to where if you're from St. Louis, you got it. What high school did you go to? Okay, that's a big thing. And so what kind of what kind of sports did you play? Ba-ba-boom, ba-ba-bang. And then if you are getting into the nuts and bolts of let me just by saying that I'm from CBC and I played soccer. That's certification right then and there. That anywhere you go, doors open, trunks open, blah, blah, boom, blah, blah, bang, you're the guy. And that that's what I am. That I wasn't allowed to be able to play in the college game. I was able to play in a top flight amateur league and so forth, but we lost in the final. So, you know, when you win, you get everything. If you lose, you go home. And that's what I bring to the high school champions league all over this country, is that, hey, man, I'm too poor to pay attention, so I'm not going to be able to pay to play. But I'm going to be able to outwork everybody to play. And that's what I've done. I've worked all my life to be able to play. And that the whole story is a very simple one. Bring it. Bring your shine, man. And as you well know, the godfather of death, he's my shoe shine Johnny. The guy knows everything. And so when he brought this, I said, this is it, man. This is it. That forget about all this other stuff where you can, hey, you could be homeschooled and be the Champions League. You could be a champ. And that it's a pathway, just a couple games to get into that state tournament, to be able to really say, hey, I was the best in town and out of town. And that's what I would, that's why I'm here. I believe I am here to shine the light nationally, to be able to say, hey, man, you know that South Florida? Come on, come to the Midwest, go out west, go up east. You know that they say St. Louis is the soccer capital of the United States. Well, let's say, hey, everybody's got a beacon, man. Everybody's got a soccer capital of the United States called high school. And so if you're the best high schooler in South Florida, you're pretty much going to be a national ranked and type of powerhouse. And lastly, to say, hey, man, the internationals are coming in to play the ball in this country, because there ain't nobody working to play, man. They're just going through the motions. Well, this Champions League says it all, that, hey, you come and work to play.
Love it. David?
I love everything you say, and I think that's what Jim and I started with here. And our whole purpose was to give it a showcase event to kids that couldn't afford it and make it something that was special for them and just find out what the best team really is in the whole Tampa Bay area. And now to start in that other places is great to see.
Way to go, David. I've been a big fan of yours from afar. And the whole story goes is that when you are that player, boy or girl, man or woman, you raise the level of all your teammates to make that a team. But undeniably, there is one that comes from the rest. And that's what I offer all the young men and women. Hey, man, be the best that you can be, and let the sky's the limit. The sky's always the limit, man, guaranteed. But my gosh, man, you don't have to leave nothing on that field. And that's the beauty of being at CBC, is that you never left anything. You gave it your all. And when you go about, people say, hey, that guy's about something. That gal, these other schools, they say, that girl's about something because your reputation precedes you. And I want to thank Mike for getting the dude named the Godfather, my shoe shine Johnny, and David. the avenue to bring this all. This is not something that just somebody slept and oh, yeah, here it is. This has been years in the making, decades in the making. This is the prize, baby. This is the prize. And I'm so fortunate and grateful that you all are on that journey to extraordinary with me, man.
Well, those are some kind words down here. I know that, you know, Perry raves about his hometown, St. Louis, and I know quite a bit about that that environment. I applaud you. You know, I grew up just up in Iowa in the 70s. We didn't even have soccer in that state. But no. And I didn't realize that St. Louis at that time was a hotbed, and you guys were pretty much leading the way in the Midwest of pioneering it, which is pretty cool.
Amen, brother. Amen. And I guarantee that everyone in St. Louis now is scanning left, right, around, because it's all over, and we've kind of lost our luster. And that is when Jim brought that up to St. Louis. Harry brought it up to St. Louis. That united everybody. It was a magnificent, it's just magnificent to be in the start of that, because that fire is burning, man. It's going to go and go and go. We're excited.
Well, I'm excited to know when you're going to come down here and all of us can be on the air live down here where it's a little warmer than where you're at right now. One of these days, come on down and we'll have a great time and maybe catch a Rowdies game as well.
Well, I could fly down, but nobody would allow me to drive down. They leave the car in the garage.
Well, first of all, that's not a bad thing. I've driven from Iowa many times. You don't want to drive that ride. Yeah, you're better off catching a quick Southwest Airlines, $140 Woo! Bucks, and maybe we'll find a sponsor to pick up your tab.
Well, then, get a sponsor. And if I may say thank you, Mike, I had it down in my notes. But this thing is going to take off, man, with national sponsorships. That, you know, we get local, we go local, but then it becomes a national sponsorship to say, who is the best high school team in America? And Mike, you may be the key holder of that sponsor.
Well, you never know. We put our heads together, and we've got plenty of decades of experience between the four of us. That's either good or bad. I call it wisdom, right, fellas? It's not age; it's wisdom.
Boom, boom.
You got any more questions, Jim? I lost a little time because of our technical difficulties. You got any more questions, you fellas?
I'll throw it to Dave for the final word.
You always give me the final word. I think we're absolutely correct. Kevin's absolutely right. I think that there's this Champions League building and going national and having areas all over the place are just going to make high school soccer even more relevant, but also more exciting. And the kids that have gone away from it because of MLS or MLS Next, you know, are going to say that, you know, hey, I want to be part of this. All right. It's a really great thing, and it's you know, it's been a lot of work, but it's been a lot of fun to do too.
Mike, we can't tell you how much we appreciate your support. Thank you.
Hey, Kevin, I want to I'll reach out to you because I've got a streaming platform, Florida Sports Streams, down here, and it's a channel on our platform, RadioSt.com. I'd like to grab your podcast so people can hear about the whale down here, and you and I'll talk about that off air here next week.
Oh man, that's off the charts, baby. Yeah, just go to Whale Certified Podcast. It'll drop up. It will pop up.
You might be the whale, but as far as I'm concerned, you sound like Wolfman Jack.
You're Whale Certified Hall of Famer. Holy cow, way to go, Mike.
All right, my man. Have a happy Easter, all you guys. Appreciate taking time to join us on our Tampa Bay Rowdies Body Armor Coca-Cola segment, which you have each and every week. Go Rowdies. A must win, according to Jim Hart today. You know, Jim Hart would fit in right with you guys. That negativity that you exude about the baseball season starting.
No, I mean, all right.
I must win.
It's opening day. I think opening day is always a must win. You're trying to set the tone for the not only the team, setting it for the fans.
Maybe there's too much emotion involved.
Well, I mean, that's the whole point of it, Mike. It's the pageantry of opening day. You have the bunting around the stadium. You have all the you announce their names.
Pomp and circumstance.
Yeah, you know, it's a good time, and it's one of those things that you really need to win. And I think the Rays did exactly what they needed to do after an 8-2 loss. You flip the script, and you give it right back to them with an 8-2 victory over the Blue Jays. So, I mean, these are two great ball clubs, two amazing ball clubs, and anytime you're out here at the Old Gray Lady at America's Ballpark, you're in for a good time. God. And I'm going to keep selling that, Mike. This is America's have
some
Ballpark.
I'll have some T-shirts made up for you. Well, talking about flipping the script, how about people that are actually going to your webpage over a million times? And that's our partner, and he's Bob Putnam, and he's kind enough to take a little time out before a little family get together today, so we can highlight that milestone, that momentous journey that you've taken since your Tampa Bay Times. But that's bigger than people realize, Bob Putnam. Why don't you go ahead and toot your own horn, and thanks for joining us down here today, and looking forward to our future together. But I want to make sure that you're loud and proud, and I don't think people realize the amount of work and diligence that is taken to get you to that milestone.
So in the past month, I hit a million page views on the website. So that was a pretty big milestone, and happy I was able to accomplish that.
Well, happy. It's the hard work, and the people don't realize the number of hours that you put in to get where you are as far as the preeminent leader for high school sports, if not in the state of Florida, certainly the entire Gulf Coast. And again, I applaud you. I'm looking forward to our alliance. Let's talk a little bit about the rankings right now, because it looks like the Patriots are in the house. Pinellas Park Patriots are going to be on next, Bob, and we'll have a little conversation with them. Let's talk about your rankings that you were working on this week.
Well, these are the ones that the Florida High School Athletic Association puts out, and they're the ones that will determine some playoff spots, seedings, and even some playoff berths too. And in softball, the big one was in a class 6A in the region that has there's Bloomingdale, which is undefeated, Wiregrass Ranch, also undefeated, and Eastlake, which has one loss. So that's going to be a super competitive region in class 6A. And in baseball, in 5A, one of the interesting ones is, Jesuit, Seminole, and Northeast are all among the top three in the region. Northeast was number three going into this week, but they beat Seminole, and Jesuit did lose a game this week. So it'll be interesting to see, does Northeast climb not just ahead of Seminole, but also ahead of Jesuit and claim the top spot in that region, because they've been really hot right now, Northeast.
Well, they're building a heck of a football program in there with Sean Davis, but I didn't realize that they were that deep in the world of baseball. That's great to see the Vikings having that success.
Yeah, they've got a really good pitcher. Corey Geinzer, he had a perfect game. He started out the season great, you know, perfect game. and a win over Sarasota. And he's kind of carried them. And even some of their losses have been close, too. They only had they lost by a run to Calvary Christian earlier this year as well. So they played well against tough competition.
Anything else on the horizon? I know you got to get to a family gathering. And we'll meet next week, you and I, and do some more concrete planning. Looking forward to launching our show. And that'll be on Wednesdays, folks, on our RadioSaintPete.com platform on Florida Sports Streams. And that's Primetime Preps, Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection High School Headquarters Show. That'll have Brad Richardson and Bob Putnam, two guys that have dedicated their lives to covering high school sports. And I'm just excited about the depth of the sports we're going to cover. You know, here we are talking baseball, softball, but, you know, you're touching on every sport. You know, last week we talked, you know, lacrosse. We'll talk track and field, swimming.
We're going to talk bowling?
We'll be talking bowling. All right. By the way, Bob, you haven't met Ben Botham yet. You will. But he is the head bowling coach for his Seminole Warhawks. As well as an assistant baseball coach, but he was the inaugural season as the bowling coach and knew nothing about the sport. But we'll be talking bowling,
hey,
too.
I knew Kingpin and the Big Lebowski, Mike. That's all you really need to know.
That's right. But that's the depth of the coverage you provide, right?
Yeah, actually, my dad was a very big bowler, and my brother, too. My brother actually bowled two perfect games in league.
Assistant coach?
So. Yeah.
Here, Ben said he wants you to be his assistant. He wants to get your brother as an assistant coach.
coming up this week, or not this week, but the following week, starts the playoffs in lacrosse and flag football. So that'll be coming up as well here soon, too.
Well, good. Well, you can go to Primetime Preps, of course. That's Bob Putnam's website. We're going to be melding our social media. We're going to create a Facebook page, and then like we are today with the Patriots from of course Pinellas Park, and we're going to have wrestlers down next week. Each and every week, we'll have one to two teams down here, and you guys will be talking high school sports. Have a great Easter, my friend. I look forward to our meeting next week, and. Keep kicking butt. 1 million views. A very, very impressive milestone that you passed this week. I applaud you.
Well, thanks so much. And I look forward to talking to you again next week.
All right. He's Bob Putnam. That's pretty impressive. 1 million?
1 million.
That tells you we're heading in the right direction. He's a genius. He's realized the passion that people have in high school sports, and they can't get it around this area.
Yeah, there was a void left after Bright House left, you know? I mean, I remember growing up, and you could watch high school games every single week on Bright House Sports Network.
Well, and he was a specific writer for the Tampa Bay Times. They had a column, and then they just wiped those guys away. Hey, something else if you're looking for, and that's an affordable golf cart that doesn't break the bank, which is hard to believe these days. But we got some flyers down there. I think they got one.
Oh, yeah, I see them there. You even got little keychains, too.
Well, they've got one for right here. This is my kind of price, my man.
Hey, this is my kind of thing, keychains.
$3,300, and that's what I've been talking about the last few weeks that we've been promoting these guys.
That's a great deal.
Well, and you get 10% off. You get 10% off if you mention Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection or On the Tee Florida. And as I've said, you can take that and accessorize it. Add another $300 if that was your budget. $300 in accessories can go a long way. And these guys, I'm looking forward to a long relationship with Tim and the gang. The reason they can do that, they don't have the brick and mortar. They don't have to worry about the overhead. They're in Plant City. They'll go out. It's almost like search. They'll go out and find the cart that you want.
Really?
Guy like you, you want it all pimp daddy so you can drive down to Madeira Beach.
You got it, Mike.
For the ladies. I know what you want the horn, it honks, you know, the whole deal. That's what you'll be looking for.
Yeah, hey, I'm looking for everything, Mike. I love a good golf cart. Maybe take it on down here to St. Pete, see a good old Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
No. You would. It'd be one of your many stops. That would be dangerous, a golf cart in your hands on Madeira Beach or down here.
Hey, Mike, I drive a golf cart every day at work, so if I could get one for house, I'm all for it.
So you're actually Have a golf cart driver's license.
I am an avid golf cart driver, and it sounds like they got the best deals in town here. So
in the area, man, I'm telling you right now, we'll have them at some of our golf tournaments for par three opportunity to win one of these great golf carts from our good partners at On the Jump Carts LLC. All right, let's go to Wyatt Ross, our young. I guess he is. He is our correspondent for the red hot Tampa Bay Lightning right now. I was listening to Paul Porter. He did a superb job this morning, by the way. Had a conversation with an NBA official and who's just a very, very bright man. And but Paul Porter also is the voice of the Orlando Magic, and they're in the hunt for that playoff position. Not you're nodding your head. You don't even know.
Hey, it's basketball.
But I like the way that you nod your head.
You bounce it, you shoot it, you dunk it. Alley-oop.
Great job, baseball, Ben Botham.
Hey, I got it all. I got the vernacular ready to go.
Well, let's talk some hockey. And he's got the vernacular, and he's done a superb job. And he's in our I'm going to call him our own Wyatt Ross. What's going on, young man? I missed you.
Yeah, it's been a while, but I'm excited to get back to it.
It's been a minute, as the kids say these days. So let's talk about this red-hot Tampa Bay Lightning of late. And they keep accumulating the points to protect that wild card position. Let's talk about the week that was and the week ahead.
Yeah, so the red-hot Bolts, they went to L.A. this last Saturday, but the week didn't start off too hot. Started off with a 4-3 overtime loss, and that ended a five-game win streak. But continued our point streak to six, which will be important later. The Lightning did battle back to force overtime. They were down 3-1 with about 5 minutes left in the game. Goal scorers were Adrian Kempe, Brayden Point, Trevor Moore, Mikey Anderson, and then Steven Stamkos with two in the last 5 minutes, his last goal coming within the last minute to force overtime. However, Vladislav Gavrikov got the OT winner. Vassie also had a rough night, only stopping 19-23 for an .826 save percentage. And as I mentioned, this ended our five-game win streak, but continued the point streak to six, which is important because we got that point streak to seven when we went to Anaheim for the 3-2 overtime win on Sunday. Some back-to-back action, and the Lightning got the big overtime win. They extended their point streak to seven games, as mentioned. Goal scorers were Johnston, who scored his first goal in 2 years, but the party ended there as Duclair and Glendening got two. Minchikov tied it up, and Cirelli got the OT winner. Bounced back for the OT gang. Awesome game from Johansson, stopping 30-32 for a .938 save percentage. And then we took on the Bruins. If anyone checked out that game, we know it was a great game for the Bolts. Extended the point streak to eight games. They took down the Kings of the Atlantic. And the goal scorers were Chafee, Heinen, Pointer, and then Kucherov with the empty netter. Vassie stellar, stopping all but one of 24 for a .958 save percentage. And the Bolts moved 8-1-1 in their last 10. Ever since the trade deadline, Duclair has been hot. Dumba's been solid on D. And the Bolts just continue this win streak. Look at the road ahead. They play the New York. Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, would you call that Bruins game a signature win for this time of the year? I would think so.
Oh, absolutely. Took down first place in the Atlantic. The Bruins were red hot going into that game as well. And we got awesome goaltending, great defense, and some great goal scoring. Were you able to check out that game?
No, I was channel surfing, but I'm a March Madness fanatic this time of year too.
Okay. Who's your favorite to win it all now? I know we're in the Elite Eight, right? We're working on the Sweet 16.
Well, my favorite, well, I'll go with Chalk. Oh, my God, there's the lovely Judy Botham. She's gracing us this morning. Anyway, Wyatt, you got to go with UConn. But there's been so many upsets. I'm from the Midwest. I'm a Big Ten guy. I would like to see Purdue win it all, but I don't know. UConn's just a juggernaut.
It's tough to stop Zach Edey in the paint, right?
Well, when you're 7 foot 7'4" presence like that, and he's been there so many times. Yeah, it is tough to stop. Geez, your diversity of sports is pretty impressive. You're going to be giving us some raise updates as well. Hey, real quick, for our audience that don't follow hockey that in depth, how do you accumulate points? Is it basically just on a goal scored?
Are you talking about points for players or for the team?
For the team, for the standings.
For the standings. So a win in regulation, which is there's three periods of 20 minutes. Okay. After that third period, the last 20 minutes, if you have more goals than the other team, you get 2 points. Now, if it's tied after those 60 minutes, each team gets 1 point, and they go into overtime, which is a five-minute period where teams play 3-on-3. Normally, it's 5-on-5. And if you score in overtime, you get the extra point to go to 2. But if you lose in overtime, you still get that 1 point since you were tied after what they call regulation.
Well, you know what? Superb job, because they were talking about that on Paul Porter's home team show. So many people that watch the sport and act like they know, you know, how their points are accumulated, but they don't. But thank you for clarifying that, young man. So what's this week look like?
Yeah, so it's a really busy week this week. Starts off tonight in New York against the Islanders. Then we'll travel to Detroit on Monday. Oh, no, I'm sorry. We play at home tonight against the Islanders. Then we welcome the Detroit Red Wings on Monday. Then we go for a little Canadian road trip, Toronto on Wednesday and Montreal on Thursday. And we round out a busy five-game week in Pittsburgh on Saturday. My Pittsburgh Penguins. No, I'm kidding.
You are a Penguin fan. Your family's from that area, aren't they?
Yes, my dad is from about 2 hours out of Pittsburgh, so I've been watching them struggle all year long. At least the Bolts are doing good for me.
So you got two teams. You're kind of like me. Since I moved down here, I've kind of adopted, you know, Bucks and Rays and Lightning. But I still have my Midwest roots and the teams that I follow. But that makes it a lot of fun. So when are you going to start giving us some Rays updates as well? When you start that process, after you get out of school?
Oh, I got some Rays updates right here. I'm ready.
Okay, you got 2 minutes. Fire away.
Yeah, so they're 1-1 right now. It was a little bit of a rough first game on opening day for MLB, an 8-2 loss to the Blue Jays. But then we rebounded right back on Friday with an 8-2 win of our own. Yandy Diaz has been hot, 5.56 batting average, and he's already got a home run. So a rough first game, but then a great rebound, and they play today at 4:10 against none other than the Blue Jays at home. So if anyone's able to go down there and cheer on the Rays, hopefully they can move to a winning record and move up in the standings a little bit.
Well, I got two baseball fanatics sitting in front of me. And, in fact, Joseph was at the game last night sitting in right field and was just inches away from getting a grand slam ball as well. So, well, Wyatt, you wish your family a very happy Easter. We appreciate you taking time to join us each and every Saturday when you're available, and it's been refreshing, and we're looking forward to the future, young man. You have a great holiday.
Thank you. You too. Happy Easter.
All right, my man. So your lovely mom brings me some treats.
She certainly does. She certainly did. We got a little Easter basket for you, all kinds of pizzelles, cookies, some banana bread, everything you need.
All right, we got to take a top of the hour break. We will roll into the second hour with a great high school body armor conversation, Brad Richardson, and of course the Pinellas Park Patriots in the house. And then we'll switch gears and we'll talk baseball and we'll talk Elite Eight. We'll be back on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, brought to you by Body Armor, Coca-Cola.
This is the TAM Talk Radio Network.
It's time for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Live from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Studios, across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. Providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps and the pros across Tampa Bay and the USA. Get your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and your hosts, Mike Rickard and Ben Botham.
Welcome back to hour number two of the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. We're live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill down here across from Tropicana Field, where it's the Rays and the Jays today at 4:10 first pitch. Horse series tied at one apiece. They play four. And the start of the season wasn't what everybody anticipated. We got an 8-spot late on us, but we returned the favor yesterday with another 8-spot. But it was spectacular down here on Thursday for the 26th annual party at Ferg's for the grand opening. A lot going on at Ferg's. Always a party. We're down here at 13th and Central. Today you've got March Madness. You've got the Elite Eight starting today and tomorrow. Every television, 104 of them, will be tuned into to those games, as well as the Rays at 4 o'clock. So as far as a hub of sports, as well as the women, I'm not going to count the women out, as far as the women's NCAA as well, because that's a great story in itself, being from the state of Iowa, and Caitlin Clark, and we'll watch out with bated breath today. A lot going on this time of year. Of course, baseball, Ben Botham joins me, of course, the Seminole Warhawk. And then Joe Geiger, former Boca Ciega Pirate. To my right is Brad Richardson. He is the voice of the Seminole Warhawks, football and baseball. And on our Body Armor Prep Connection High School headquarters, he brought down the Pinellas Park Patriots. And they've got I'm sorry, dude. I'm not into you guys' swag as far as the color scheme. You got cool stuff. A lot of cool stuff. But this is the color scheme for me. The red, white, and blue. God bless America. On a happy Easter Saturday. Thanks for coming down, fellas, on a holiday. And, Coach, thanks for bringing them down.
Absolutely.
And, we got Beckham in the house. He's looking over here like, who is that goofy old man that won't shut up? That's their 8-month-old son. And what's your wife's name?
Jordan.
Jordan, God bless you with that that beautiful little baby. All right, now we'll turn it over to Brad. He'll talk about the serious questions, the nuts and bolts of their season. And then I'll ask a couple of fun personal questions, and you can let your grandmothers hit them when they get home. All right, Bradley, take it away.
Oh boy! All right, here we go. Welcome to the Body Armor Prep Connection here, as we are joined by the Pinellas Park Patriots, and so we have four of them here today, along with their head coach Ryan Griffith, all the way down on the end. Guys, introduce us. Tell me who you are, and sophomore, junior, senior, etc., as well as what positions you play on the field. Go ahead, speak up, man.
My name's Colby Redding, number 29. I play second base. I'm a senior.
All right. Next up, man.
My name's Tyler. I play center field. I'm a senior.
You got a last name, Tyler?
Burchard.
There you go. Your parents are listening. He's embarrassed about our last name.
All right. Go ahead, man.
Tyler
next up.
Burchard.
Go ahead, man. You're up now.
I'm Destin Cuton, and I play left field. Number 26. And I'm a senior.
Awesome. And last but not least,
I'm Bryce Higgins. I'm number 12. I play right field and I'm a senior.
Alrighty. All right, guys. So I'm going to give you just a quick little trivia and all. And I want to head back in time real quick to 2015. So right now we have a legacy joining us here. And I want to let you guys know something. So back in 2015, I didn't just announce Seminole during that time. I also announced him at one point. He got to hear me announce his name. And I believe Coach Pat Russo had me come down a few times to announce the team and all that. So I've known.
Was that Pinellas Park?
Yes, it is.
You're coaching your alma mater.
Yes, it is.
Kind of like Ben Botham coaching his alma mater. That's cool. I love that those stories.
Yeah, so I got to announce him. So as I announce you guys now for the season, I got to announce him. So it's always good to have Coach Griffith. But, you know, it's not about the old-timers right here. It's about you guys and all. So we're going to start with this. So
old-timers.
Yeah, old-timers. There's three of us here, but I'll count me and Ryan in this as well. So anyway, let's start off with this. So obviously, now we have the 2024 season going on right now. And I want to ask for all of you guys. All right. So what was the goal for this season? Other than wins, what was the purpose in terms of the actual goal that Coach Griffith wanted to set up for you guys? Colby, go ahead.
Just to get better as a group, I think. Obviously, more wins on the season. Better the year than last year. But overall, just get better as a group and we're pretty much all seniors on our team, so I think we want to finish out strong on the year and just finish out high school on a good note.
Absolutely. What about you, Bryce? What was some of the things that he wanted you to do this season?
Come together as a team, play as a team.
Talking to the mic, man. You
come together as a team and play as a team. Like, help each other out, pick each other up.
Absolutely. Cool. All right. So now I want to go back real quick to the Georgettes tournament. I was talking to Coach Griffith before this actual segment started, and I have to say I was very impressed with a lot of suicide squeezes that were going on in the game when you guys played CCC. Were any of you involved in that at all? Okay. So tell me, were you nervous on third base trying just to get in and get that run? Tell me about that.
I wasn't really nervous. I had trust in my teammates to put that bunt down so that we could score runs. I feel like that's our type of baseball.
I love that kind of baseball.
Scrappy, but I'd also say
coach has got a set. That's what that tells you.
Absolutely. You know, and you guys have took a lot of chances and played a few moments in some of these games I've watched this year. Very unconventional. And then as you said, you know, that's a great kind to watch. You know, it's not just big hits. It's also great game situations to score runs. So, coach, getting these guys together and getting them ready for each and every game, you could scout a team all you want. But what's some of the reminders you tell them before they go into a game? Some of the things to always keep in mind and remember.
Just having a lot of confidence in one another, having confidence in themselves. we want to play the game hard. We want to play the game fast. Just throwing strikes, making the routine plays, but just having confidence that they are one of the better teams in the county. The record doesn't always show it, but they're more than capable of coming together towards the end.
Well, in this county, everybody that's competitive is a superb baseball team from where I came from, the Midwest. So you guys are all very good players in your own rights.
All right, so real quick, I'm going to ask Destin this. So what would you say has been one of the biggest highlighted games this season for you guys, one of the biggest wins you guys have had to have?
Honestly,
don't be shy.
Don't be shy, man. Come on.
What do y'all think? Largo. Yeah, I honestly think Largo, because, like, we had a freshman come up, take a big step up, and decides to get us a run in the bottom of the sixth, and then we go in the seventh inning tied up. Next thing you know, he hits a walk-off and right up.
A freshman did?
Yeah, a freshman. He hit it. And next thing you know, it was all hyped, and we had it was a really good game, and we all fought super hard.
Well, you guys certainly aren't treating him like a freshman anymore, are you?
You still
got to pimp him a little bit?
Yeah, yeah.
Still getting initiated.
Yeah.
Well, that just goes with you guys went through all that yourself.
Yeah, for sure.
But stepping up like that, pretty impressive.
Yeah, it was a big job, and it was a really good moment.
And makes Coach smile from ear to ear because he knows the future's bright, too, with some of that nucleus.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And it was nice to beat Largo. It was nice to get them out.
Anyway, so let's start on the next thing. So during the game, you know, obviously there's going to be moments when there's a struggle. For any team, it's always going to be a struggle. Who's the one guy on this whole varsity squad, not just even the four of you guys here today, who really picks up the team? Who gets everyone psyched up just to make a comeback? Come on. One of the four of you, who is it?
I would probably say Destin. Like, even when we're at practice, he comes with, like, fire and energy and lifts us all up to do, like, have a good practice or in-game hype the people, like, our teammates up to do better. And even if somebody's down, he'll help them out, pick them up.
Well, Coach loves guys like that, right?
Absolutely, yeah. What all does Destin say? Come on. Come on, what do you say?
Get hype, keep your head up. It brings the energy.
Make you laugh, too?
Yeah, it brings the energy. Oh,
for sure.
Well, energy is important, especially after a loss, you know, and you're trying to reinvigorate your squad. And I guess I do have one question. No, this is on a serious note, believe it or not. I'm not familiar. What's your guys' biggest opponent? I know Seminole and Osceola. But is it Seminole?
Honestly, our biggest opponents are ourselves
This guy's going to be a coach someday.
No, honestly, because most of our games, like, we beat ourselves and, like, we get our own.
My man, you're going to be a coach someday if you want. Yeah. Yeah. That's great attitude, isn't it, Ryan? Yeah.
Alrighty. So, guys, I always ask this question. You guys are all on social media, definitely Instagram, Twitter, et cetera, and all. So, out of the four of you, all right, and this is a personal question for each of you. If you had to post a highlight from the season, video, picture, whatever, mainly video, what would you say would be the one thing that you would post on there that you want all fans and family to see? Colby, go for it.
Just this year?
Just this year alone, yeah.
What game was that when I hit two doubles?
You can't remember?
Uh-oh. No, I don't remember. But a game when I hit two doubles and was it St. Pete? Or no, IMG.
IMG Academy.
Oh, yeah. Impressive. That's when we beat them. But
That was a fun game for sure. Everybody was hitting the ball, and I was having a good game. I think that's the one game I would post this year.
Awesome. I bet that was fun beating IMG.
Yeah.
I don't care what level of their IMG team, you know, those money guys. It's nice beating them, you know, and saying, hey, we're public school, boys. I'd like that.
Bring it on. What about Tyler? Come on. What about you?
Honestly, it would probably be coming in against Osceola and shutting them down for four innings, not giving up a run at all. It was just fun. I was out there having fun. Wasn't trying to do too much. And that's probably the one I'd post.
You saw Paul, right?
Right.
Gotcha.
Awesome. All right, Dustin.
I would actually probably say the Osceola game because I hit a double, and it was like against a kid like I'm pretty close with. And also, it was just a fun game in general. And we fought for a couple innings, and then we ended up losing that one inning. But
you know, Dustin, the beauty of that is you can rub that in that guy's face for like 50 years.
Oh, yeah.
Because I still remember things 100 years back myself, and I'll see those guys. Hey, remember, I got you.
Yeah, for sure.
That's the beauty of those memories.
All right, Bryce, come on. Speak up really loud. Tell us.
Definitely the Largo game because we all played a hard seven, and we all came together as a team throughout the whole game.
All right, let's go back in time one more time to 2015. I know Coach Griffith probably has one thing that he remembers.
He didn't know he was going to get roasted today.
Oh, come on. All right, come on, Ryan. There's got to be something you remember about your senior year of high school.
Senior year, I'm not too sure about. Junior is more memorable for me. We played Eastlake on TV. Had a great game. Went
on
three
TV?
For four. Yeah, we played back when Bright House was around, one of those Bright House games. Went 3-for-4, I think it was, with a triple to start the game. Couple runs scored, couple stolen bases, and ended the game with a glove flip to first base. A lot of fun that game was.
On television, would they start calling you money?
Is that out of here?
Absolutely, yeah. That was during the Pat Russo era, so that was always a fun year to watch. So, all righty, Mike, you want to talk about the questions you like to ask these guys? And
well, they may not like them, but first of all, we'll start to the left. I always want to make certain you do a shout-out to people at home and thank them. So when you get home, you're going to get a nice meal, a hug, you know, whatever you want. But, do a shout-out to your family.
Well, I want to give out a shout-out to my mom because – she drove me everywhere for travel ball, and that's the one person that wrote it out with me all throughout high school. And
what's mom's name?
Kristen.
Kristen, you got a fine young man here.
I guess I can thank my dad. He wasn't there for everything, but he helped me out when I needed it.
He brought you on the planet, too.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. His name?
Chucky.
Are you got any siblings?
My brother, Colin. He played for Osceola, actually.
He was a traitor.
Yeah, he is. but that's about it, I think.
All right. Question that nobody likes me to ask. Got a girlfriend? Hesitation.
Oh, man.
Hesitation.
I mean, prom is coming up, man.
Why
so.
Did you hesitate is my question there, pal. Possibly have one?
No.
Okay, good answer. All right, I want to chew a shout-out to your fam.
I'd like to just give out a shout-out to my whole family, no matter what it is.
Mom and Dad's names?
Mitch and Tara. But honestly, my whole family's always been like a big group. We have a big family, so we always do everything together. Recently, my grandfather passed, and even though it was a hard thing like to do or talk about, and we all like stick together, and that's something that we always do. So, like, we've always done that. We've, like, after this, I'm about to go have a – we're all at Margaritaville, and my whole family's there. So, well, it's just my whole family, no matter, like
– You're a blessed young man.
Yeah.
All right. The same question. Got a girlfriend?
No.
That's why you guys are having success right now.
Yeah. We're not really worried too much about girls.
I didn't really mean that. Coach likes that answer. All right.
All right, Destin,
Mr.
go for
Energy,
it.
Future coach.
Yes, sir. I want to do a big shout out to my mom and my dad because they're the ones that like make me who I am today.
Their names?
Gary and Shawnee. And they make me just have all the energy I have. They push me through it.
They must be positive people.
Yeah, 100 for sure. Like, they make me, like, think of the bright side, not the bad side at
all. Well, that's the way to go through life, young man.
Yes, sir. And they push me, like, hard, and it's good.
That's cool. Now, I think I know the answer already because these guys started smiling and laughing. I got a girlfriend?
No, sir.
Oh, wow. I would have lost that one.
No. I used to, but not no more. It's way better without a girlfriend.
Hey. 3-for-3, no girlfriend.
3-for-3. My gosh. Round of applause right there.
All right.
Finally, Bryce.
I would like to shout out my mom and dad. They've been through there. They've been through travel ball, high school baseball. Like, they paid for it. But definitely my grandpa. My grandpa's my number one supporter. He's been to every game, hasn't missed one. He's always there.
Bravo. Their names?
My mom's Gina, my dad's George, and my grandpa's Keith.
All right. Now, are you going to make this question a perfect 4-0?
Uh-oh.
Well, that, you know what? I always have a response for this. That's probably why you're having success, too, because you're a happy man and you must have a good woman. How was that covering myself?
That was pretty good there.
All right. Okay, fellas. Well, I thank you for coming down. Appreciate all race fans, I hope.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, good. Hey, that right across the board there, Mike.
Yeah, I didn't have to break it down. I have had some people that went a different direction, and I wondered, but it was always family related. So anyway, well, guys, look forward to following your rest of your season. Appreciate you coming down. I might have to do some trades, coach, for some swag to keep it on front, because that is the best logo and the color scheme as far as I'm concerned. Now let me turn the rest of it over to my man Brad Richardson.
Alrighty. Well, guys, thank you guys for being down here and all. Definitely good to see you guys. Obviously, you hear me all the time when I announce. And, of course, I'd love to give you guys a little trivia about Coach Griffith right over here. So, guys, once again, thank you for coming down. And look forward to seeing what else you guys have during the season. Obviously, the playoffs will be in a month. So we'll get a chance to watch more and get to see more of the Pinellas Park Patriots in action and get to see what other teams you guys will face off in the highlights coming soon.
You know, Coach, one of the things I really enjoy is seeing and these guys are all seniors. They've been through a lot together. Is they have this camaraderie, this cohesiveness. You can tell because they don't realize it now, but you guys are going to be friends for life. That's just the long and short of it. You know that. You know your teammates from 2015. You know you're talking to them still, and you're going to be buddies. Until they throw dirt on you. That's the beauty of sport. And so relish every moment of it. You're a big family man. You all are. You give tributes to your families. But between the family and friends, that's what it's all about. All right, gents. Thanks for coming on down. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right.
Absolutely, guys. Thank you for being here.
Have a great Easter.
Yeah, great Easter to all you guys.
Thanks for coming down, young lady, and bringing that beautiful little baby. Future Patriot right there.
Yeah, future one. Beckham, get ready.
Coach, you'll still be in the dugout. coaching his boy. Well, and maybe he'll be in some big-time college program by then. All right, fellas, have a good one. Brad, as usual, superb job bringing down the Patriots from Pinellas Park Baseball. And always one of my favorite conversations is our high school prep connection brought to you by our good friends at Body Armor and, of course, Coca-Cola Beverages.
Absolutely, yeah. Definitely good having them down. So it's always good to have a lot of good teams coming down here. So,
next week we're gonna flip.
Ooh.
The switch. We're gonna have some wrestlers, huh?
Not next week, but on April 13th, we'll get a chance to have CCC coming down here. They have two state titled wrestlers that are gonna be coming down here. One of the number one guy in the state, Gavin Nolan, will be joining us along with the two head coaches there. One of their assistant coach, and we'll get a chance to meet their other guys. So it'd be great to talk to them about wrestling and all, and the season that they've had, and the unique sport that it is. I mean, most people, when they hear wrestling, they don't understand the true mechanics, let alone the training that goes into becoming a successful wrestler.
Well, being from the state of Iowa, where wrestling is king, it's just amazed me how successful the wrestling world has become down here in Florida. And a lot of it's because a lot of Northerners came down here. But Florida actually has superb wrestling, and they send a lot of bodies up north to wrestle at Iowa State, Penn State, UNI, Ohio State. Those rosters are full of Floridians.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And wrestling is obviously becoming more impactful down here, and it's definitely becoming a popular sport and all. So, but yep, that's going to be on April 13th. We're looking forward to having CCC down here.
Hey, Matt, let's take an early break. I want to get a picture with these fellas before they take off, and then we come back and we'll talk baseball. Ben Botham, and we'll throw Joe Geiger and Brad Richardson. We'll talk Rays. We'll talk about forecast for the 2024 season, as we did on our baseball show on Thursday. And then we'll wind up with big old Oscar Garner III and Alex Reba, and we're going to talk March Madness, and of course, the Elite Eight is set, and the games start today here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. We'll be back. Stay tuned.
The first quarter is over.
Never show weakness. Only pain that matters is the pain you inflict.
Keep your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Are you ready to rock?
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
The Hippie Shack is St. Pete Beach's newest eating, drinking, and dancing kind of joint.
Yeah, baby! Yeah.
Located at 9655 Blind Pass Road on the Treasure Island Intercoastal. The Hippie Shack is open daily at 11 a.m., providing 60s and 70s vibe with live music every day of the week. Our comfort food and creative menu will take you back to the 60s and 70s with our themed daily great drink specials. The Hippie Shack is the grooviest and coolest new eating, drinking, and dancing kind of joint. The far out and peace-spreading Hippie Shack at 9655 Blind Pass Road on the water in St. Pete Beach. Don't be a square. We'll see you there.
Oh, groovy, baby.
Fred here. Welcome to the Sea Dog Treasure Island, a waterfront brew pub with a golf-inspired menu. Known for handcrafted cocktails and a wide variety of award-winning Sea Dog and Shipyard beers brewed right on site. Now serving breakfast daily starting at 8 a.m.
Chef Charlie here, featuring our homemade family recipes. Come try Big Mama's homemade biscuits and gravy, our award-winning shrimp and grits, and our handcrafted Maine lobster benedict.
Located on the water, just walking distance to the Treasure Island Beach. Enjoyment for all ages. Cheers.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, serving Champa Bay for 29 years, voted the Bay's best wings and sports bar, located across from Tropicana Field, is your sports headquarters and private party destination. Weekly live music, axe throwing, dog park, raised bucks and lightning watch parties, every game and 95 televisions to guarantee your favorite team's games are always on. Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, Champa Bay's iconic sports and party headquarters.
Pulling out all the stops of the fourth.
All right, let's go.
Time to bring it home with the dub.
Let's get rocking.
Stick to the game plan with a Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from the clubhouse studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Let's rock this joint.
On the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. And baseball Ben Botham and I fill our face with his lovely mother Judy's treats here. And we just had a nice conversation with the Pinellas Park Patriots and Brad Richardson. Great job of getting them down here. Of course, we're brought to you by our good friends at Coca-Cola Beverages and Body Armor, as well as Ice Pick Vodka in our adult conversations, and the rest of the show will be that way. And, of course, Sea Dogs Brewery, Shipyard Brewing, and of course, Ice Pick Vodka, which is the vodka choice for all of our on the T Florida, Big Monday, anything we do down here, and we'll be expanding into the world of maybe a little gambling as well. Are you able to eat those baked goods and also have a conversation?
Of course, Mike.
Without smacking your lips and making everybody hungry on the other end?
Hey, I mean, with food like this, it's hard not to be hungry.
You grew up on it. You grew up on it.
I certainly did. I was lucky enough to get this stuff all the time. Mom makes some good cookies, good pizzelles, all the good
stuff. You know, you're an only child, so you never had to go through the trials and tribulations of basically survival and getting in fisticuffs with your brother and sisters for baked goods and goodies,
yeah.
Soda pop. Good old memories, you know what I'm saying?
Hey, saved me a lot of headaches, I'll tell you that much.
Hey, before I forget, I'm gonna get one more plug. I'll probably get two more plugs for our new friends at the affordable golf carts. We talked about that, and the minute we got done talking about it, four golf carts drove by here.
They certainly did.
On the job golf carts, I was doing a little promo for them, and I looked up, and there was a different range. I guarantee you, those were a lot more expensive than the ones. Now I'm choking on my cookie. That you can get from on the job carts. Tell you what you do. You just mention St. Pete Sports Connection or On the Tee Florida. You go to on the job carts LLC. Tim and the gang. They'll give you 10% for mentioning us, and we'll talk more on the Tee Florida about our relationship on the world of golf as well. So let's talk a little baseball. Of course, we talked about the Rays and the Jays, and you think that's probably, well, right now, according to the talking heads, especially the New York Post, the Baltimore Orioles are the preeminent favorite to win the East.
Yeah, I think that's a solid selection. The Orioles are looking really good. I mean, even their minor league team with Holiday, he hit first pitch home run. It was unbelievable. They'll
be moving him up quickly.
They'll be moving him up very quickly. But it's crazy to see how much depth they have, not just on the 40-man roster. They also have it going all the way down to their minor league affiliates.
And we talked about this on our first pitch of 2024 show on Thursday. And the overwhelming consensus is that the Orioles will be in first place. Yankees, they flipped it. Yankees race. Toronto, in a lot of cases, third or fourth. I don't see that happening. And then what I love is the Red Sox dead last.
Love that.
Which is unbelievable for the Red Sox organization. First time in like 35 years if they end up in last place. Now, their owner, there's a lot of scrutiny right now at the Boston Red Sox because he just actually invested in the PGA Tour. You know about that. But some of these big-time investors to combat LIV and he's put a lot of energy into that, and it's pissing off the Boston Red Sox fan base.
Instead of putting it into the team,
The Boston Red Sox have been around 100 some years, so they're not happy about that. But so I look at that, and as we said, you know, baseball season opening day is all about the old ketchup commercial anticipation.
Yeah,
we really didn't know what we had this year. A good portion of our nucleus was in place across the street, the Rays from last year, but not. Not the arms.
That's
where there are a lot of question marks with Glasnow going to the Dodgers, and then of course Sugar Shane out for the season for the most part.
Tragedy.
A lot of question marks.
Yeah, I mean pitching's definitely going to be, which is, I don't know, an odd thing for the Rays because we always have such great arms. We start off the season I guess in our case we don't start off the season, but we have these great guys and that are just. Always perpetually injured. And it's what's holding the Rays back from, I think, really getting that last little push, making it over the hump. Because Rays getting into the postseason, it's been a sure lock for the past 5 years. You know, and that's great for the team. But when you can't get over that last little hurdle because so many of your guys are either on the IL or, you know, they're talking contract stipulations like, oh, well, we're going to leave next year. It makes the team... You know, really struggle in that last little part of the season.
Well, Zach Elfrin, of course, was the day one starter, and he's from Orlando, and it was a dream come true for that young man. You know, he quietly last year had 16 wins, and I think a lot of that got lost in the fact that you know, if Sugar Shane would have stayed healthy, he probably would have won the Cy Young. The pace he was on. Tyler Glasnow came back and was pitching lights out, and he was the odd man out.
Yeah.
Right now, he's the ace.
He certainly is.
And
hey, he got my bet to cash over 4.5 strikeouts opening day, Mike.
That was your bet now.
That was my bet. I saw it on there, Zach Eflin over 4.5 strikeouts.
That was a money bet.
I couldn't take that.
That was easy bet.
Hey, Penny, you know you're going to share a little bit of that winning cash with me, right? For some drinks.
Yeah, I spent $5. I won $10.
Yeah.
Hey,
you can go get a couple of drinks and reach in your pocket for a couple more bucks. But anyway, but Zach Elfrin, you know, had a rough first outing, and if that's our ace now, we're in trouble.
I think they left him in an inning too long. I mean, but that's what everybody's going to say. But when you have that caliber of a guy. He's not, I think, a true ace in the sense like he's not a Sugar Shane McClanahan.
No,
he's just not. But
and that's not what they picked him up for. They didn't know he's going to be in this role due to injury and trades.
Exactly. So he's a guy that I mean, especially this early in the season, it's maybe not wise to let him go as far. You should be in peak shape, peak performance for this. It's the start of the season. It's the first freaking game. But. You know, a lot of these guys, it's a different ball game. You have to work them into the season, get to a point where they are at their peak performance, and then more than likely, they're not going to stay there because of our training staff. But right now, they got to limit his innings, maybe no more than 5, and then try and rely on our bullpen, which, you know, that's going to be another story.
That's beat up as well.
Yep.
Yeah. The reality is we open up with Toronto, of course, you know, formidable foe and one of our biggest rivalries in the East. And then... On Tuesday, we've got on Monday, we've got the Texas Rangers, the reigning World Series champs, coming to town and for 3-game series. And we know what happened the last time they were in town. It was the playoffs. They came in as a wild card. if they would have won the last day, they would have actually had home field advantage, and we wouldn't end up playing the Rangers, who ended up winning the World Series. So a lot of moving parts in the world of baseball, and we wouldn't have had that 3:45 start and no one watching us on television.
Did you see the Rangers flag for the World Series that they put up in their stadium?
No.
Cool. No. What is
it? It's tiny. It's minuscule.
They're in Texas. Everything's big.
Yeah.
Not the flag. I don't know what it was. Whoever designed it was a moron.
I mean, Benny, let's put it this way. Football reigns in Texas. Dallas Cowboys, it's a religion. I mean, high school football on Friday nights is a religion, but take the Cowboys. I mean,
we're talking about the World Series.
I know, but you're talking about the World Series. I mean, talk about everything bigger in Texas. I guess, unfortunately, right now, baseball has not caught up to that concept yet.
Well, Brad, it's in their stadium.
I understand, but it should be a little bit bigger. You were mad right now that
I'm telling you right now, I live there, and I went to Rangers games. And of course, the Astros. So baseball does rain there, and they, even look at their collegiate games. But I don't know why they made that move.
They didn't even put it on straight. Yeah, it was crooked.
Was it?
It was like bent in the middle, and it was pretty bad.
What the hell?
It didn't look like an actual pennant like you see hanging at the Rays games or at Yankee Stadium or anywhere.
It looked like something like I'd put in my room if I was a Rangers fan.
If is the key there, Joey.
Hey. I will tell you one thing though. You look at their lineup, and if they get healthy and get their pitching staff back, they've got everybody back intact, and they've got a phenom rookie coming up. Of course, a bullseye will be on them. Last year they came out of nowhere. I mean, they led for a good portion of the season, then faded, and then made a comeback. But they're the real deal again.
That's the big thing with baseball is being hot at the right time. I mean, the Rays were hot. I mean, they were electric at the start of the season, but that doesn't really count for much in a 162-game season. It doesn't matter if you're good for 19, 20 games. It's just not going to get the job done unless it's those last 20 games.
Okay, we had predictions on Thursday. How many games do you think the Rays win this year?
I think it's another 97 games, 97 wins.
Joe?
I'm going to go 86 just because, our pitching staff, Eflin isn't a number one guy, and it kind of showed opening day, but he's a good pitcher. Just I don't know how we're going to be with our rotation with him as our number one guy all year and Savali as our number two. Again, both solid pitchers, but I don't think they're 1-2, and I think it's going to come to bite us eventually this year.
And I'll play it safe. I'll say I'll stick right in the middle with my prediction. I'll say 90.
Well, the optimist of Mark Ferguson comes by, and I had Peter Gollum back with me, and I had Kip Engel that are two very, very educated authors and communications directors in the MLB for decades. And Mark said 99 wins. Now, I don't think with that pitching staff, 99 would really be a stretch. And it'd be an amazing year like we started out last year. But 99 wins is going to be tough.
I see her hand over there. My mother, she's saying 101 wins.
Oh.
101. Your mother is the most positive person on the planet.
Mrs. Botham. We'll take that now. It's a four. Okay.
Well,
four votes there.
Judy to me. I'm an old man, so I can call her Judy. You keep calling her Mrs. Botham.
I'm a gentleman, and I have respect.
I like that.
Yeah. I'm a gentleman, unlike Mr. Botham here sometimes.
Yeah, that's Mrs. Botham to you. Judy to me. Anyway, 99 wins. I said, well, you're the eternal optimist. And, of course, the more wins that the Rays get, the better it is for Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Oh, of course it is. It means more people over here, more people ordering the world-famous wings that we have.
Which I think the Pinellas Park Patriots, they're still here right now, and they're probably going to get some world-famous Ferg's wings.
Hey, by the way, those were great kids.
Yeah,
you know,
awesome.
The more I hear all this negativity about the youth of today, and there's reasons for that, and it's not usually typically old, grouchy old men. I'm not one of them. But most of the teams we have down here, I walk away and I'm impressed of these young people. And, as a coach, are you seeing that with your players? I know you don't see it so much in the hallways, you tell me.
Yeah, it's mainly with kids who are involved in sports or the ones
exactly. I wanted to hear that out of your mouth.
They have a positive role model that's supposed to be guiding them and showing them how to live a good, wholesome life, not just on the field, but throughout their life, when they're in the classroom, when they're out at work, when they're just anywhere with their families, doing anything in the public. That is kind of the idea that a coach is supposed to be instilling into these kids. And that's why you see kids who are in sports are so much more successful, so much more well-rounded than the kids who are not involved.
Or any activities whatsoever. And you know, one thing I will say, that most of them had parental support. But the beauty of it is, if they don't have that luxury and they don't have a family, unfortunately, and that's very prevalent across America these days, a lot of these kids will get that by being a part of a sports organization or any activity, any group. And you and I have talked about, we're getting to a stage in society where it's isolationism. Nobody wants to go out for teams. They don't want to participate.
Yep.
They're going to miss all the great things. Here I'm telling these guys, you know, you're going to know each other for decades. Some of these kids, they don't care to because they don't know about it. And that's a travesty. That's why I say sports and music bring people together. And sports, regardless of their level of success, it generates positivity for the rest of their life.
Yeah. Well, Mike, I mean, I'll say this too, is that it provides structure. It provides it. It gives
absolutely.
The ultimate thing is
absolutely.
That it forces the kids to multitask. I mean, when you have some, by the way, think about this for a minute. Ones that do play sports, ones actually they have to go to classes. But the other side of it too is you have some kids who want to work jobs, so they're having to balance a lot of stuff out. Sometimes the only time
that's life.
That's life. Yeah, exactly. Especially when you have a family. But it provides a structure for them. It forces them to take responsibility. It forces them to go and say, hey, in order for me to be able to play the sport, I got to make sure I'm focused on these grades. I got to make sure that I'm also having a positive outlook when I'm in the classroom and also on the field, because if I'm negative, the grades aren't going to be good and I'm also not going to be playing. So, and if you have negative attitude within a job, you're not going to be in the job that long.
Well, that's enough of our lecturing from the old guys in the house. But the reality is, and Joe's, you know, 19 years old. I know you enjoyed every minute of playing sports and probably missed it every day.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't know what kids do in high school when they're not playing a sport. I mean, you make best friends that you're going to make for your life, friends with, you know, your players, your teammates, your even your coaches. So, I don't know. It's definitely very important for high schoolers.
Let's switch gears. Let's get big old Oscar Garner III. Of course, he was my right-hand man, or I was his weight around his neck on Monday. We had Big Monday down at Sea Dogs Brewery. Alex Reba was traveling. Hopefully, we've got them both on the line, the big old Oscar Garner III and Alex. Of course, Reba, the masterminds, the geniuses behind Big Monday, which has become a resounding success. And we're going to talk a little March Madness. The Elite Eight is all set. It's pretty interesting to take a look at where we started. I always pull my bracket out, where we started and where we're headed, and you know, the success or their lack of prognostication at every level. The talking heads, the schlubs like me. But Big O, how are you, my man?
We're doing good, man. I'm sitting here with Alex. We are in the Metro Detroit area, fresh off of the Sweet 16 Midwest matchups, and feeling good, feeling excited for Sunday, where chalk has continued to play out in the Midwest. Purdue versus Tennessee, a 1-2. Very exciting stuff. Mike, how about you?
Well, I was disappointed, of course, my Creighton Blue Jays not getting in, but I never felt very good about that game with the athleticism of Tennessee and the lack of depth that Coach has on that bench for Creighton Blue Jays. So that didn't surprise me last night. I know where we need to go first and foremost, and I'll get out of the way, is, of course, your North – I don't know why I even say this. You just grabbed him for some strange reason and started in football season. Your North Carolina State Wolfpack are in the Elite Eight. And
yes,
we're never going to hear the end of it, Alex.
No, you'll never hear the end of it. Look, NC State has been on a great, 3 weeks of basketball. I think it's 6 games straight they're on after ACC tournament win, have beat, you know, America's darling in Oakland, now has beat Marquette. I mean, I told you Shaka Smart, he always comes up short here. So NC State advances the first 4-11 matchup, and they have a chance to take on Duke once again. I'm so excited for this matchup, and I'm very excited to hopefully see NC State make the Final Four. Look, Duke had a great game against Houston, but Houston had a key player go out. So So, you know, was that a real matchup for them? Will they be able to keep up with NC State here? It's going to be hard to tell, but of course I'm going to ride with the Wolfpack, and, you know, this is a pick that I picked a couple of years ago that's played out very, very well.
Well, I will say this. Jimmy V is smiling down on this team, and there's certainly a lot of people in my demographic that remember that incredible run by Jimmy V and his Wolfpack, and we're seeing a different version of it in 2024.
Yes, absolutely. So let's move over to – let's talk about these games that me and Alex actually got a chance to watch. Alex, you had a couple of lines out last night. You had some money out on the game. You know, Purdue and Gonzaga was decent, but I think Tennessee and Creighton was the better matchup. Where do you start?
Tennessee – good to be with you, Mike. Glad to be here with Oscar in the Metro Detroit area. But yeah, the Tennessee game is obviously the more competitive one. Came down to the wire. Looks like Creighton would maybe get back into it on some the heels of some Stephen Ashworth, Baylor Shireman threes down the stretch. But Tennessee's athleticism, I think their defense kind of just swarmed Creighton at multiple points during the game. I was fascinated. Rick Barnes kind of went to his bench, and you mentioned the depth that Creighton kind of lacked. Tennessee has that depth. Specifically, you know, one of the guys that I've kind of keyed in on with Tennessee has been Jonas Adu. He's their big man. I did have his over for rebounds, and he rode the pine the entire second half because they went small ball, and this is a game they played without Santiago Vescovi, who's one of their most senior-laden guards, but they got guys off the bench like Jordan Ganey, like Meshack, that can complement, don't connect very well, and I think that was just a tough matchup for the Blue Jays. They weren't going to be able to score the ball and shoot from a high percentage from deep, but they got their work cut out for them against these Boilermakers who have quite a large contingent here in Detroit.
When you take a look at this Purdue team, and you and I have talked about it, Alex, and so did the Big O, I think they're a team of destiny, but there's just one roadblock that really concerns me, and that's the UConn Huskies. I just don't know if they can get that, if they can get by UConn. Should it get to that point?
I mean, I think that's kind of the matchup. If you're a true college basketball fan, you want to see. Everyone loves upsets. Everyone has their teams and everything. In Oscar's case, NC State, James Madison. You know, strong alumnus there. The guys behind us became Blue Jays fans for the evening last night too, and we're talking about getting down to Omaha as quickly as possible if they covered that bet last night, but. I digress. I would say, yeah, it seems like since the season began, three teams kind of separated themselves from one another and the rest of the pack, and that was definitely Purdue, Houston, and, of course, the UConn Huskies. And in this tournament, the UConn Huskies have separated themselves even further in my eyes. And that's no slight to Purdue, because Purdue absolutely ran Utah State out of the building, a Mountain West champion in Utah State, a really quality team. And then they played very well against a tough team yesterday, but I still think that UConn, they just have like no flaws from what I've seen all season, and they have just not, they haven't even been challenged by a number of teams. I mean, the last close game they played was Seton Hall in the semifinals and of the Big East Championship, and then they have three losses on the year. One of those was at Allen Fieldhouse against Kansas, one of those was Seton Hall on the road, and one was, I'm forgetting the third one, but they just don't have bad losses. They don't let themselves get behind. I mean, Dan Hurley, a true sociopath of basketball, but I mean, it's clearly working because they're producing results, and they are so deep. They play such good offense and defense. They complement one another. I'd love to see the Boilermakers. I think you could talk yourself into the path of destiny based off the Virginia National Championship run, but that Virginia team didn't have to go up against an animal like this UConn team in my eyes.
Hey, fellas, remember all season long we were talking the Big 12, the toughest conference in America throughout mm-hmm. the regular season, and for obvious reasons that we made that claim. But not one team in the Elite Eight now after the Houston Cougars going down.
I don't think I have an issue with still claiming the Big 12 was the best conference, because coming into the tournament, they still had so many teams that, I mean, Iowa State gets the Sweet 16. We see Houston gets the Sweet 16. Obviously, the Houston case is just as simple as they lost multiple guys throughout this season, and then you go and lose Jamal Shedd, who is truly the most underrated player in college basketball. He has been a top player all year, And he just doesn't put up big points like Dalton Knecht or R.J. Davis or Zach Edey. So I don't think, you know, the brand of basketball lends him a lot of credit for how talented a player he's been on both sides for the Cougars. But yeah, I mean, I think the Big 12, that they're a lot of those teams, like we said, Iowa State, Houston, they play a defensive brand of basketball that doesn't necessarily translate to March. The one that kind of surprised me, I was expecting more out of the Baylor team, but they did the opposite. They were so offensive heavy, which was kind of the opposite of that national championship team under Scott Drew. This team was all offense, and it came back to bite them against the Clemson team, which I live with a Clemson alum, and he has been, you know, kind of down on this team all season, just waiting for the Brad Brownell kind of choke job. But apparently Brad Brownell does his best work when his feet is as hot as possible, because he continues to find ways to win with this program. And now he's going to go to the Elite Eight today in California, and he's going to have a chance to go to the Final Four against an Alabama team, which I don't think a lot of people saw getting this far. But, you know, I think that's a fascinating matchup as well there.
You're listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, a conversation with Oscar Garner III and Alex Reber, brought to you by our good friends at Ice Pick Vodka, Shipyard Brewing, and, of course, Sea Dogs. We're talking about the Elite Eight. You can watch every game down here at Ferg's. All 100 televisions will be on. We'll flip over about 410 for a little raise action as well. Oscar, the Fighting Illini, one of the two opportunities for our Big Ten to represent in the national championship game. Do they have a shot against UConn? I mean, everybody has a shot, but do you realistically think that they, you know, their inside presence is certainly what took down Iowa State, I would say, and then the questionable guard play early on in the Cyclones. But I like them to be competitive in that game against UConn.
I think it's going to be competitive. I would say if you look at the last few games that they've played, they've been pretty dominant over the first two in the first weekend. Had a tougher matchup with Iowa State, kept it close, but I like the fact that they were able to get that win out of there. And I think they can possibly ride some momentum here, but I think it's going to be a tough matchup. Like Alex said, look, UConn is doing the same thing that we saw them do last year. And it seems like it's this slow-moving storm that is just marching through round by round by round, knocking their opponents off for what seems to be inevitable. When I look back at some of the takes that I had last weekend, while I did have, you know, the Fighting Illini getting this far, I did not have them making it further than this. And I think UConn is going to be the team that we're going to see in the championship game coming out of this side of the bracket at this point. So, you know, this is so many ways of saying I think this is where the buck stops for the Fighting Illini. But we'll find out at 6:00.
My one bit on this game, the Illini got to shoot free throws better. They were 52% from the field in that game against Iowa State. Iowa State also missed, I think, like 15 layups. There was some insane stat during that game. And I think the Illini were a little lucky to get out of that game with the way they played. They're going to need to shoot their free throws better. They cannot be leaving points against this UConn team on the floor like that, because it's just there. It's going to come back, and it's going to a big lead is going to swell on them, and you're just not going to be able to dispel that easily.
Hey, fellas, maybe it's just me, but have you noticed that free throw shooting has not been very consistent across the board in this tournament?
No, I mean, even you look at some of the older teams, and me and Alex have called this out in the past, the teams that win in March Madness are teams that have had chemistry over some years, right? The opposite of that being Kentucky, the strong suit of that being a team like Purdue, teams that have been together for some time with a key player that's come up there, and then building the discipline of free throws as well. So having that success is so key, and we're seeing even some of our older teams struggle with some of that. I mean, of course, I think back to Michigan State, and I think about a team that has four players that came back in that starting unit, and they were terrible in free throws. They had several opportunities. They got to the line but couldn't hit them, and we've seen that across this tournament. But going forward, that's going to be something I think is going to make or break, because we're done with the blowouts here. These are going to be close games across the board, and if you're not hitting your free throws and being disciplined there, it's going to be a tough go.
One guy I want to give a lot
of guys. I got to wrap it up. We'll be talking about this on Big Monday, of course, from 6 to 8, live from Sea Dogs Brewery. You can hear that on RadioCMP.com and our Florida sports streams. You boys stay out of trouble. Do I need to keep a lot of cash on me to wire up bail money tonight, or are you going to keep it on the low key?
I can't answer that, but you have a good weekend, Mike, and we'll catch up on Big Monday.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, guys. Have a safe trip, Alex, and thanks, Big O, for carrying the show this past Monday. Those are Big O, Oscar Garner III, and, of course, Alex Reba. We need to talk a little baseball, though, before we go, Ben, because 3 hours, it's game number 3 of the 4-game series, Rays and Jays at the Trop.
Yeah, I'm excited for it, even if Major League Baseball is not finding it so exciting, because Major League Baseball has only posted us twice. We are the least mentioned team on social media out of all baseball.
To quote Peter Gombach, who are these guys?
But
he never knows who. That's his statement every time we talk about the lineup.
But they're promoting Oakland. Oakland's got more posts than us, and Oakland could barely even fit like one.
It's like
row,
a going away.
130.
It's a going away party for Oakland.
Did you see the images of Oakland for opening day, Mike?
No, is it sad?
It is sparse. You might have been able to fill up one section at Tropicana Field, America's ballpark. But it was
America's ballpark. I have been to the Ace location on several Oakland Coliseum on several occasions. It's not in a good neighborhood. I'm telling you right now.
I heard it's quite the dump. But you know,
it's got rich tradition going back to the 70s, baby.
Yeah, they got a
Reggie Jackson, Joe Rudy. I mean, you've got three or four guys that are in the Hall of Fame pitchers.
But did they have NSYNC open up their stadium with an amazing concert?
Who did that?
Right here, the old gray lady, back before she was...
You weren't even born.
Back before she was Tropicana Field. We had NSYNC here, one of the largest concerts.
Weren't even born, dude.
That's not a big deal. It's still true.
NSYNC.
Hey, and they're on a comeback right now. So, hey, that's 90s nostalgia for me. Yeah, so
you never know. They might come on back. I know they got Riley Green coming.
When they were here, I never cared for them. So I don't care if they come back. NSYNC. Who's in? Is that Justin Timberlake and those clowns?
Yeah, Justin Timberlake, Lance Bass.
Jesus, he knows it. He knows them all.
Joey Fatone, all them. Yeah. I mean, hey, I was a kid of the 90s. I varied the music.
Donnie Wahlberg in that team?
No, that was New Kids on the Block.
Can't keep up with those boy bands.
No.
I don't really give a dang.
But yeah, I mean, hey, they're coming over. But,
the Blue Jays fans are coming in.
Yeah, they're starting to. I haven't seen that many Bichette jerseys yet, though. I will say that.
Oh, I saw plenty of them at the game opening day. And guess who else was at opening day?
Uh-oh.
It was Joey Votto. Joey Votto was sitting there. He was in the section right above me, looking down.
Joey Votto was over here?
Yeah, he was there for opening day.
Why was he here?
Remember, he got picked up by the Blue Jays, remember?
Oh, so I didn't know Joey was there.
Yeah, he was there. He was there watching the game, having a good
time. I figured he'd come down and have a coldie with you.
Yeah, I tried. I sent him a message here and there.
He'll be back in the bigs before you know.
He got lost. He couldn't find my second.
Hey, we got to wind things down.
I got to say one thing real quick. You know how you said Peter Gollenbeck, said, who are these guys?
Yeah.
You know what? You got to get a recording of him saying that. Every time something comes up, you got to do that.
For Bob Putnam, Jim Hart, David Wilson, Wyatt Ross, Ben Botham, Brad Richardson, the Pinellas Park baseball team. I want to thank them for coming down. Matt on the controls, Joe Geiger. I'm Mike Rickard. Thanks for listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Wishing you and your families a fabulous weekend. God bless you. God bless America. Have a happy Easter and a championship week.